Everyone. Sorry, Nathan caught me unawares there, so I'm just getting myself wired up here. Lovely to be here and lovely to see everyone. So nice to be back in Lurgan. Really looking forward to the chatting to everybody afterwards. Although I'm told that I'm going to be made to walk somewhere as well with the 16 to 25 year olds, a group that I am definitely no longer in. But thank you so much for your prayers for Claire and me as we move our lives, God willing, to the Lisburn area so that Claire can be closer to her work in the Irish Baptist College and I can be closer to the CEF office in Belfast. We're part of Emmanuel Baptist in Lisburn since we got married, and we've been enjoying getting to know God's people and serving there. I'm really thankful for Johnny's wisdom and guidance in this process as well. And I just wanted to publicly thank him and also everyone in the church for your encouragement and prayers over the past few months. Thank you to the young people for taking part. I know it's not easy to be up here. I know for some of you it's going to be the first time you've been up here, and I know how terrifying it is. Isn't it great that most people smile at you? Yes. And thank you for trying to smile at me. I hope you're still smiling in 15 minutes. But I want to speak to you tonight about serving God. And I have to say, I'm speaking primarily to the young people tonight, but I am speaking to everyone in the room. And everything that I say to them tonight over the next while is fully applicable to everyone who is not a young person in the room this evening. Young people, as we've been hearing tonight, summer is a time of great opportunity. I have to tell you, you will never have summers like the summers you have now when you get older. And I'm resisting the temptation to make a joke about a certain profession, but you will not have 8 weeks of summer holidays ever again in your life. And it's a great opportunity. A great opportunity for you to use to serve God. Whether it's five-day clubs, like we've been hearing about, whether it's camps, whether it's holiday Bible clubs. And not only that, it's a great time to meet with friends, to meet with family, particularly those that don't know the Lord, and share the gospel with them. But older people, you're not off the hook either. It's a great time for you as well. And I know maybe some of you are doing five-day clubs, some of you aren't. But as we've been hearing, this is the last Sunday evening that the church is meeting here in the building for the next few weeks. That's a form of outreach that's going to be happening over the summer months. I'm sure there's no one, a believer in this room, who doesn't know someone who isn't a Christian. Maybe over the next few months, it's time for you to think about how can you share the gospel with someone that doesn't know it. Don't waste the time that God gives to you. I want to encourage you, whether you're the youngest person in the room tonight who knows and loves the Lord, right through to the oldest person in the room tonight who knows and loves the Lord, don't waste the time that God gives you. Use it to share the good news of the gospel with others who don't know. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And just before we read, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you that in our lives you give us great opportunities to serve you. That right from the moment that we put our trust in you, you open doors for us to share the light of the gospel with others. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that as we read your word, that for the young people and for those that are not so young, that, Lord, you would help us to see that you have a task for us to do. And, Father, I pray for anyone in here tonight, and they do not know or love you. They've never repented of their sin and put their trust in Christ. That tonight, Lord, as we look at what the gospel is, that you would open blinded eyes. That, Father, you would take cold, hard hearts. and that, Lord, by the power of the gospel, you would save them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul's writing to young Timothy, and he's encouraging him in his ministry. Let's read 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we'll finish there. Four really short but really important things that I want you to see and learn and press into your heart and mind as we look at this passage. Here's the first one. Use the gifts God has given you. I had the privilege of leading some of those five-day clubs that the young people were talking about at the front this week. Some of you had never been a leader at a five-day club before. And yet it was so clear to me that God had gifted you to serve in that way. Gifted to spend time getting to know and care for the children in the five-day clubs. Gifted to making the five-day clubs fun and engaging for the boys and girls that came. Gifted to teach them from God's word, whether that was a memory verse or just chatting to them. Gifted to show them from God's word that God sent his son to this world so that they could have their sins forgiven. But God wants you, young people, to use those gifts going forward. Don't just put them in a box and set them up on the shelf and go, that's great, that'll be handy for five-day clubs again next year. Paul's writing here to remind Timothy about his gifts. Look at verse 6. Paul says to Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And not just to remember the gifts that God has given you, but to actually use them. You know, the gifts that you have for serving God, they don't come from you. You don't buy them. You don't inherit them. You don't say magic words and suddenly they appear in your life. They're given to you by our Heavenly Father. Whenever we become Christians, whenever we come into God's family, the Spirit of God begins to work in our hearts and lives to make us more like His Son every day. But He also gives us gifts for serving Him. For some of you, that might be singing or playing the piano in church. It might be being able to teach the Bible at the front, in front of others, so that they can understand God's word. It might be a gift to really get to know people and understand and help them in the difficulties in their life. And as we often experienced in BYF, there are many older people in the church and they're gifted in hospitality, particularly gifted in opening their homes and definitely their kitchen cupboards to keep us well fed. Don't ever forget that our gifts for service don't come from us. They come from our gracious Father in heaven. Look at verse 5. Paul makes reference to two people, Timothy's mother and his grandmother. He talks about how they were Christians. They also loved the Lord. He talks about how wonderful that is. But Timothy's gifts for serving God didn't come from his mom or from his grandmother. They came from God. Many of you, even like Aaron, who was given his testimony, came from homes where your parents or your grandparents were Christians, and that's great. But young people, you aren't gifted for serving God because of them. God will certainly use them in your life, and they have no doubt prayed that God would use you. But your gifts for serving God come from Him and from Him alone. Why do I say that tonight? Well, because maybe some of you don't have Christian parents and grandparents. Maybe some of you, you're the first Christian in your family. God still wants to use you in His kingdom. God still wants to use the gifts that He gives you to tell the gospel to others. So whether that's at five-day clubs or camps this summer, or becoming a leader in Good News Club in the autumn for some of you that are older, or just thinking about how all of us can share the gospel with our friends and family, use the gifts that God has given us. Why? Second thing that we see, there's a reason that God saved you. Why did God save you if you're a Christian? Is it because you go to church? Is it because you come from a good family? Is it because you pray a prayer? Is it because you do lots of good things and give money to good causes? No, look at verse 9. God saved us because of His plan and His grace, which He freely gave to us. God didn't save us because of stuff that we have done. It's not because of who we are. It's because of who He is that we're in His family. It's easy as a Christian to sometimes think, Lord, I'm just not worthy to serve You. I'm not the right person to be going out and getting involved. I couldn't do that. Do you know what? You're not alone. It's been the same way the whole way throughout the Bible. Do you remember Moses when he was at the burning bush? I'm not good enough. I couldn't speak in front of Pharaoh. No way, God, no way. King David's father and brothers couldn't believe that he could be the one that was going to be the king. Mary couldn't believe that God would use her to bring His Son into the world. And yet God used them all. All their faults, all their failures, all the things that they thought they couldn't do, all the things that they actually couldn't do, and God still used them. Young people, older people, don't think that you aren't good enough to serve God. He has called and saved you. That's qualifications enough. Even in the days when you don't feel good enough, God can use you. Even in the days when you let God down and you know it, God can use you. Even in the days when you don't have the right words to say to that person who's relentlessly attacking your faith, God can use you even with what you do say. So what does God want you to use your gifts to do? He wants you to share the gospel with others. There's an interview I saw one time of a man talking about fishing. I think I maybe talked about this in BYF one time. And he's obsessed with fishing. He knows everything about it. He knows all the best rods and reels and line and hooks, floats, everything. He's totally obsessed with it. He knows all the best equipment. He's in a fishing club. All of his friends are into fishing. He watches fishing TV. I didn't know that was a thing. He watches it on YouTube every night. There is nothing about fishing that this man does not know, except for one thing. He's never actually gone fishing. God didn't save you to experience the gospel in your own life, to know everything about the gospel, to even be able to answer tough questions about the Bible, and then never actually tell anybody else about it. If you're a Christian, God has gifted you in one way or another to be a light to those that don't know Jesus Christ. But that's difficult, isn't it? It's hard. That brings us to number three. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Let's be honest. The gospel's very strange to this world, isn't it? You young people will know that particularly. Somebody called Jesus died 2,000 years ago to save me from my sin. Really? You want me to believe in a God that I've never seen or heard and trust him with my whole life? Really? But the gospel is clearly the answer to this world's needs. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Maybe you've been brought along to hear the young people and you're finding the things that I'm saying a bit strange. Look around at this world. Look at your own life. There's brokenness everywhere. It's so obvious that something has gone terribly wrong. You don't need me or even a Bible to tell you that. Open your eyes. No one would admit that this world is perfect. It's full of evil and hurt and sickness. But the Bible shows us that's not how God created this world to be. He made it perfect. But disobedience to his ways brought all of the chaos and the rubbish that we see around us into this world. It's that sin that causes the brokenness that you see around you and in your own life. But God has an answer to this brokenness. It's Jesus, his son. How is it that a man who lived 2,000 years ago in a tiny corner of the Roman Empire influences our history, our culture, appears in books and poems and songs and language and is in stained glass windows throughout the world? How is that possible? Because he wasn't just an ordinary man. He was God's son sent to save this world. If Jesus was just some great inspirational speaker, he wouldn't still be influencing people today, totally transforming their lives. God's son, Jesus, died a cruel death, took the punishment for sin that sinners deserve. He became the substitute. And not only that, but he rose again. He defeated death. Oh, hold on a minute, Andrew. That's one step too far. Somebody rising from the dead? Seriously? Well, history records, both in the Bible and outside of the Bible, that many people, even though they didn't understand how, said that Jesus died, and then suddenly he wasn't dead anymore. Some of his disciples, having seen him die, gave their lives telling others that he rose again. Why would you give up your life for a fraud? Jesus offers you forgiveness. Forgiveness for your sin, freedom from your sin, and one day eternal life in a world that will never go wrong again. That's the great news of the gospel. That's why in verse 8 and in verse 12, Paul talks about how we're not to be ashamed of it. It's great news. And you see that fear that you have in telling other people the gospel? That fear doesn't come from God. Look at verse 7. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So young people, older people, tell others with confidence. The power to save isn't in you. It's in the gospel. And finally, especially when you're struggling to serve him and telling others about Jesus, number 4, remember that God will keep you. Paul says to Timothy in verse 12, Timothy, it's hard. I'm suffering because of the gospel, Timothy. But never mind. I know who I've believed in. And Timothy, I know he's able to keep me. If you're a Christian, young people, older people, you're his. You're his forever. And I hope that you serve him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength this summer and this autumn and this winter and next spring and for the rest of your lives until Jesus comes. Even when it gets tough, even when you're up against it, even because of the normal pressures of life or because of opposition to your faith, keep going. God is keeping you, and he will keep you until the day you meet him face to face, and it will be worth every minute of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this encouragement written to Timothy nearly 2,000 years ago is such an encouragement to us today. Thank you, Lord, that we have the power to not be ashamed of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you have gifted us to tell others the gospel in lots of different ways. And I pray for the young people and the older people in here that, Lord, you would use us this summer and for the rest of our lives to be fervent and serious about using the gifts that you have given us to tell others about you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and close with Cornerstone.